families. And
so this morning, we're going to learn and see the perfect family today. The perfect family. So if you would, open your Bibles up to 4th Maccabees, chapter number 7, and I'll show you the perfect family. Now, if you're looking for it in your Bible, you're never going to find it. There is no perfect family. There is nobody on this earth that's perfect. The only one perfect has ever been Jesus Christ. So what does a perfect family look like? Is it a number of people? Is it a color of people? Is it the age? Is it anything? What does the perfect family look like? Maybe it looks like this. Okay? Maybe it looks like this. Maybe it's like this. What does the perfect family look like? You know what? In reality, this is what the perfect family looks like. Next. Next. Maybe even like this. But most likely, this is what family looks like. The perfect family. My concern is that we as Americans, we have in our minds and our thought process what a perfect family is supposed to be like. We have said in our mind that it's a mother and a father and 2.5 children who make an average income of $75,000 a year. The color is white. Drive a perfect Mercedes-Benz that's never dirty. Car seats are in perfect order. They go to church faithfully Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. The children never fight. The husband and wife get along perfectly. The husband goes to work all day long. The wife dutifully cleans the house and cooks the dinner and has makeup on and a long flowing dress ready for when the husband comes home. How many of you have a family just like that? That's not the perfect family. So what I want you to do this morning is I want us to look at what the Bible says about family, about how we're to live our lives for the Lord Jesus Christ. So regardless if you're a single person, regardless if you have 200 people living in your house, we want to examine and see what the Bible says about being a family. The perfect family. Brother Terry, first one for me, if you would. We must determine what our standard for perfection is. We must determine what our standard for perfection is. So if you want to have the perfect family, then you've got to determine what your standard is. Now in America, we use inches and feet and yards. But you go anywhere else in the world and they don't use that. They use meters and centimeters and millimeters. And so if you go, for instance, when I went to Germany and I went to fill up my gas tank, they sold it in liters and not gallons. And so I was pumping away. I'm thinking, wow, I'm getting a great gas mileage in my vehicle, when in reality I was getting horrible gas mileage because they sold it by the liter. I thought it was by the gallon, but it was by the liter. And so you've got to have a standard. You've got to have something to compare to in order to understand, am I doing what I need to be doing? Look at 2 Samuel chapter 22 with me, if you would. What should be our standard? 2 Samuel chapter number 22. I really wish you'd turn with me there and look at it. 2 Samuel chapter number 22. What should our standard be? 2 Samuel chapter number 22. To be the kind of family God wants us to be, what should our standard be? Look at verse number 31 with me. It says, as for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in Him. For who is God save the Lord? And who is a rock save our God? God is my strength and power, and He maketh my way perfect. What should our standard be? Should our standard be dictated by the President of the United States? Should our standard be dictated by the school board? Should our standard be dictated by any human being whatsoever? Absolutely not. Because everybody's standards are different. And when we try to keep up with the fads and the fashions, and we try to keep up with what this person says and with what that person says, and you want to try to please the preacher, you want to try to please the Sunday school teacher, you want to try to please this and try to please that, guess what? You're going to drive yourself absolutely bonkers. You've got to have a standard. You've got to have, this is what we're going to trust in. And the very first part of this verse says this, as for the Lord, it says, as for God, His way is perfect. You must determine to establish your life, your family's life, on God's way, not man's way. Stop trying to live your life. Stop trying to run your family. Stop trying to lead your family in the ways of man. Man fails daily. How many of you agree man fails daily? The standard of America back in the 1950s was a whole lot different than it is nowadays. Matter of fact, 5 years ago, the standards that Americans lived by is totally different than the standards we live now. And may I tell you, next year, the things that are taking place in our society are going to make our hair stand on end. Society is going down the tubes. And if you establish your family on what society dictates, you're going to fail as a family. Amen. Your standard must be on God. Now go to Hebrews chapter 12 with me. Hebrews chapter number 12. To reiterate the point, Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 2. Who should our standard be? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Our standard has got to be based upon Jesus Christ. His teaching, His direction, His guidance. And not only for our family, but may I say, for us as individuals. If you're trying to live your life according to your feelings, your desires, what pleases yourself, you're going to fail miserably. Do you wonder why you're so upset about things? Do you wonder why you lose your anger so quickly? Do you wonder why you have no thought life that's pleasing to God? It's because your standard is your fleshly pleasure. When you start giving into your flesh and you start living according to your flesh, your standard then becomes your fleshly standard. But when you set your standard up here and say, my standard is the Lord Jesus Christ, then you start living the life that God has intended for you. And may I dare say this morning, there are people in this very room, your standard is the flesh. Your standard is not the Lord Jesus Christ. And may I admit to you this morning, there are times in my life that my standard is me. And how many of you agree that's a horrible standard to live according to? We must live our lives as Christians according to the standard of the Lord Jesus Christ. So number one, we must determine what our standard for perfection is. Number two, we must determine what our ultimate motivation should be. Why do you want to have the perfect family? Why do you want to have a life? Why has God even allowed you to keep breathing? Why are you even existing on this planet? Are you just kind of like that feather from Forrest Gump that just kind of floats through the air? And as the wind blows, the feather goes here. And as the wind blows, the feather goes there. Have you ever tried to catch a feather in the air. It's hard to do. You grasp at it and it just blows away. You know what happens? Sometimes that's how we live our life. We wake up in the morning and we say, okay, I'm just going to live my life. Que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be. Aren't you glad I'm not singing that this morning? Doris Day made that song famous. Whatever will be, will be. Guess what? That's the wrong way to live. You float your life like a feather. And whatever makes you happy, that's how you live. Now, you ought to determine what your real motivation ought to be. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Let me show you what our motivation ought to be. Brother Brian, don't you dare tell me how to live my life. I'm not telling you anything. Look what God says. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. Verse number 31. God tells us what our motivation ought to be. What my motivation ought to be. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. You want to have peace? You want to have direction? You want to have guidance? You want to live like God wants you to live? Make verse 31 your motivation. That doesn't mean you're going to have a perfect family? Absolutely not. Does it mean that everything's going to wake up the next morning? Husbands, your wife's going to make you bacon and eggs and hash browns and toast and orange juice and coffee, and she's going to bring it to you tomorrow morning and say, honey, I love you so much. How many of you guys think that's going to happen to you in the morning? You guys are right. A couple of you. Oh, my goodness. How many of you know that ain't happening? Wives, how many of you think it ought to happen for you? Oh, you're more brave. Here's the thing. Just because you do this does not mean your life's going to be perfect according to God's, to the world's standards. But if you'll live your life according to what God wants you to do, you're going to be a lot more successful for Him. Whatever you eat, drink, or whatever you do, to all the glory of God. That ought to be our motivation. That ought to be the reason I get up in the morning. That ought to be the reason that I preach His Word. That ought to be the reason that I'm a father and that I'm a husband and I'm a pastor. To bring Him glory. And when I get away from that, it ends up in disaster. It's a train wreck ready to happen. Fathers, if you love God and you love your family, you ought to have the motivation that you're going to lead and direct them according to what pleases and brings God glory and not the world. Number three, we need to realize why we will never have a perfect family. Look at Romans chapter 7. Why will we never have a perfect family? If your ultimate goal is to have a perfect family, it's never going to happen. Romans chapter number 7. Here's the reason. Verse number 17. Paul writes these words. God used him to write 2/3 of the New Testament. Here's what he wrote. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would do, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Paul says, listen, you know the reason I can't have a perfect family is because I've got a sinner living in my home. How many of you have a sinner living in your home? Oh, come on, one more time. How many of you have a sinner living in your home? And how many realize it's you? You know why you can't be perfect? Because you're in the family. Well, thanks a lot, Mr. Sunshine. I appreciate that. Well, here's the issue. If you are trying to attain perfection according to what the world dictates, then you're never going to reach it because you're a sinner. For the wages of sin is death. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Stop trying to do it on your own in your own strength and realize you're a sinner. I don't like that, Brother Brian. I don't like being called a sinner. Well, if an ace is an ace, call it an ace. If it walks like a duck, sounds like a duck, it is what? A duck. Realize you are a sinner. You can't be perfect on your own. You have no hope in your own strength. You have no hope in yourself. And Paul even realized, he said, listen, I do things I don't want to do. And what I want to do, I don't do it. How many of you feel like that this morning already? That's me. I wanted to get up early this morning and pray before I preach today. I wanted to get up at 6 o'clock and pray and say, guess what? It didn't happen. I'm admitting it to you. My cat tried to get me up. She meowed at 6 o'clock. And I ignored her. My flesh is weak, but my spirit is willing. Brothers and sisters, just admit that you're a sinner. Admit that you're not perfect. You have to. Look at Philippians chapter 1 with me. Philippians chapter 1 talks about this. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Philippians chapter number 1, verse number 6. Realize that you'll never have a perfect family, but realize God's still working in your family. Look what it says. Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even though you are a sinner, even though you mess up, even though those things are true, as long as you have Jesus Christ living inside you, He'll continue to work in you and make you what you ought to be. He's continually working on you. How many of you are glad God's still working on you? Whew, my goodness. I'm not what I used to be, but I'm not yet what God wants me to be. And until He's done with me, I'll be who I am, growing closer to Him every single day. But by the way, wives, you're not going to change us. And all the men said, oh, come on, you bunch of wimps. It ain't going to happen. If you married us thinking that you're going to change us, it ain't going to work. Gentlemen, you married her, it's your own fault. Here's the deal. Don't expect to be able to change somebody. It's got to be God that changes them. Pray for them. Model it. Teach it. But God's got to do the changing. So many people say to me, Brother Brian, well, why don't you do this? And why don't you make so-and-so do that? And what? I can't make anybody. I've got a difficult enough time with myself. All I can do is give you the truth. What you do with that, that's between you and God. How many are glad that you don't live according to my dictates? Amen. So my hands went up. Yeah, that's me. I don't want you living according to my standards. Live according to God's standards. Amen? Amen? Amen. Next thing, number four. How then should we respond? We realize that our standard ought to be God. We realize that our motivation ought to bring God glory. And we realize and understand that we're sinners. So then how should we respond? Just give up and go home. Go. That's how you ought to respond. No. How should you respond to this? Well, let me show you. Number one, repent and cast yourself at the feet of Jesus. Repent and cast yourself at the feet of Jesus. Repent. God, I'm sorry. God, thank you for showing me the truth. Repent, God. That means, God, I'm sorry. I don't want to be this way anymore. I'm tired of doing what I'm doing. I'm going to turn and go back the direction I ought to be going. Repent. Not, woohoo, I'm so sorry I did it. I'm so sorry. And then you turn right back around and do it again. That's not repentance. That's just being sorry you got caught. Repent. That means turn away from. That means change direction. Unfortunately, in this room, there are people headed down a one-way road, the wrong direction. And you've got the pedal to the metal, and you are flooring it. And you've got the rock and roll blaring, you've got the windows down, and you are just moving. And you're saying, you know what? I don't care. I don't care what the sign says. I don't care what the instructor says. I'm going to do what I want to do. And if anybody's in front of me, they got to move. May I tell you, that's not going to work. You're going to hit something, and it may cause more damage than you even have a fathom about. And the Holy Spirit, if you belong to God, the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart saying, turn around. Turn around. Put the brakes on. Turn around. Do you hear Him? Do you hear Him? Maybe it's that conversation you've been having with somebody online. Maybe it's that person at work or that person at the job site or maybe that person at the store. Maybe it's just a little bit of a compromise. And the Holy Spirit's been telling you, stop. Don't do it. Don't go there. And you're just kind of going, nah, 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 nah. Maybe that's what's going on. You want to do what God wants you to do? Repent! Turn away from it. Turn back to God. Look what Matthew chapter 11 says. Matthew chapter 11 talks about this. Matthew chapter 11, verse number 28. Here's what Jesus said. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto yourselves. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know why you're so miserable? You know why you're living life and you think you're going in the fast lane, but really you're miserable? Is because you're carrying the yoke yourself. You're trying to live life your own way. Isn't it time for you to drop it and give it to Jesus and say, Jesus, I can't do this anymore. But now here's one of the hardest things I got to say to you this morning. It may mean you got to have a conversation with your spouse. It may mean you got to have a conversation with your parents. It may mean you got to have a conversation with your children. It may mean that you got to sit down and come clean and say, you know what? And put it out there. I'm not exempt. I need to make sure. Because what secret is going to be revealed? Guess what? God is in the forgiving business. That's why He calls us to repent. Put yourself at the feet of Jesus. You're not going to get away with it. It's going to be revealed. You might as well deal with it now and get right. You might as well deal with it now. Second thing to do. Live in Christ's strength, His way. Live in Christ's strength, His way. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter number 3. See, Brother Brian, I thought you were going to give us keys to having a perfect family. No, I can't. But if God's your standard, then you have the type of life God wants you to have. Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. And if you do that, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Live in Christ's strength, His way. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I can live the life that God intends for me to be in His strength. But if you determine that you're going to live according to your strength, guess what's going to happen tomorrow morning? You're going to fail miserably. You're going to wake up and you're going to mess up. The very first words out of your mouth will be a mistake. Instead, determine that you want to live God's way. All right? Number 3. Choose to love your family, even the unique ones. Choose to love your family. You're abnormal. What is normal? That's what your standard is. If your standard is God's way, you're not normal. Because none of us are perfect. So therefore, you ought to love everybody in your family. Now don't raise your hand, moms and dads. How many of you have a favorite child? I see the kids looking around. Hey, boys and girls. How many of you are your parents' favorite child? A couple of them. There is no favorites in God's kingdom. He loves us all the same. Now, there's some days that you love one over the other, and there's some days you feel like wringing their necks more than the other. But guess what? Choose to love your family. Choose to do it. It's got to be a daily thing. It's got to be. There's an old saying. This guy was grumbling and griping because his kids were just driving him crazy. And he looked at him and says, "Now I understand why lions eat their young." Look at Philippians chapter 4 with me real quick. Philippians chapter 4. Now, I don't say eat your young. I'm just saying that's what the guy said. Philippians chapter 4. How can you love everybody? You choose to think about it. Because look what it says in Philippians chapter 4. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. They're your children. They're your spouse. They're your parents. They're your brothers and sisters. Love them. Love one another, Jesus told us to do. That doesn't mean you accept what they do. It doesn't mean that you condone what they're doing if they're doing wrong. But it says to love them. And if you'll have the mind of Christ and say, "I'm going to love you in spite of you," it'll make a difference how you treat them. Children, stop disrespecting your parents. Treat them with love. Treat them with respect. It ain't right for you to disrespect your parents verbally or physically or emotionally. Parents, treat your children with respect. Love them. They are a gift from God. You got to choose that. You got to choose that. You say, "Brother Brian, aren't you done with this yet?" Number four. Letter D. Do this while there's still time. Ephesians chapter 5. Do this while there's still time. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse number 14. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, as Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Do it while there's time. I read this somewhere, I don't remember where I read it, but an older lady said, When I die, I don't want people to bring flowers to my grave. I want people to bring flowers to me while I'm alive so that I can appreciate them. An old story that I heard from my pastor when I was in Florida. He was a youth pastor in Montgomery, Alabama. And he had a youth group. And he had one particular wild child in the youth group. And she was just crazy. I mean, just rebellious. Just she slammed the doors and just rebellious to her parents all the time. One morning, her parents got her up out of bed, and her dad said, Listen, you've got to go to school today. And she said, I hate you! I hope you die! And she left out and slammed the door and went to school. In the middle of her history class, the vice principal came to the classroom and knocked on the door and said, I need to see so-and-so. He called her in and said, Sweetie, I've got some tragic news to tell you. Your daddy was killed in an accident at the plant today. And all kept going through her mind. It was the last things that she said to him as she left the building. I hate you. I hope you die. They went through the whole process of the mourning and the picking out the casket and the clothes and everything else. And as they were coming through the line, the family was viewing. The casket was open. Mom came by, brother and sister came by, and the teenage girl came by and grabbed her father by the lapels and said, I want my daddy! I want my daddy! I want my daddy! Now, how true that story is, I don't know. It was told to me. But some of you, moms and dads, children, do it while there's still time. Because there may be a time that you can't do it no more. And you're going to live with regret. There's conversations that I wish I could have with my father now. You know the stories I've told you about my growing up days. But I still want to pick up the phone. It's been 10 years. I still want to pick up the phone and have a conversation with my dad. I can't do it. Obey God. Live for Him while there's still time. Well, Brother Brian, I hate my parents. You don't know what they've done. Brother Brian, my children are absolutely driving me crazy. You don't understand. No, I don't understand your family dynamics whatsoever. But I do know what the Bible says. And there's nothing, absolutely nothing, that should keep you from obeying God and getting right with Him. Why there's still time. Perfect family doesn't exist on this earth. But there's a potential of every day of being what God wants you to be. So how about it? What are you going to do now? What are you going to do? Heads bowed and eyes closed. Musicians, come on up if you would. Time of invitation. I want to challenge families this morning. Husbands and wives, maybe whole families. I want to challenge you this morning. Where you're sitting, maybe coming down an old-fashioned altar. Maybe where you're sitting, holding hands, praying with each other. Maybe you need to forgive each other this morning. Maybe you had one of those famous fights before you got to the church today. And you got out of the cars with smiles, but deep inside is a seething rage. Maybe some issues have happened this week or this month. Maybe between sons and daughters and moms and dads. Maybe between siblings. I'm not asking you to be perfect. I'm just asking you to be obedient to what God wants you to do. Maybe there's a phone call you need to make today. Maybe there's a conversation you got to have in the home. What does God want you to do? Let me ask you one honest question this morning. How many of you realize and understand that you're never going to be perfect on this earth? Raise your hand. I'm never going to be perfect on this earth. Next question then. How many of you want to be what God wants you to be? Would you raise your hand this morning? I've given you what God's Word says. Now what are you going to do about it? Third question, and I'm going to pray. How many say, Brother Brian, pray for me that I would be what God wants me to be? Would you just lift your hand? My hand's up, because I want to be what God wants me to be. So here it is. Families, you can come to the altar. Couples, you can come to the altar. Single people, come, just whatever. Just do what God's telling you to do. If you need me to pray with you, I'll be glad to pray with you. If you want to pray by yourself, that's fine too. But just obey God this morning. Heavenly Father, you know our hearts. I'm asking you, God, on behalf of these wonderful folks here this morning, on behalf of myself, please forgive us. We are sinners. We have failed miserably. But God, thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who cleanses us from all our sins by His death on the cross, by His burial, and by His resurrection. And when we place our faith in Him, we have eternal life. I pray, God, this morning that we would count on that. That we would stop trying to live our lives according to what we want to do. We've made a mess of things. May we repent, return back to you, and be what you want us to be. May that one who's headed down the wrong direction, may today be the turning point. May they come back to you in repentance. Restore our families for your honor and glory. In Christ's precious name I pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I'm going to ask you to stand this morning. Miss Shirley's playing. Brother Dan's going to begin to sing. I'm going to ask you to respond to the altar where you're sitting or standing, but just do what God wants you to do. Just do what God wants you to do.